Belinda Audio and Gill Books present this unabridged recording of Going Back, written by Eugene O'Brien and read by Kieran Goff. One. The wind whistled and howled against the window as Scobie lay in bed and scrolled through his phone. He stopped at a sexy photo of some former TV star and an invitation to see what they looked like now. But first, an ad, and then 100 other loads of shite that you didn't want to see. So he gave up and put the phone aside. He looked across at the empty single bed opposite him. Above it, there was a poster of a blonde model in her underwear, called Jeanette, the perfect girl. Beside it, a poster of a large red Corvette car. A neon sign that said bar propped up on a bedside lamp and an awfully GAA wristband draped around it. Nothing had been touched in the 10 years since Shamie had last slept in the bed. Scobie imagined that he could see his older brother's head sticking out the top of the duvet, like he was around 14 or 15.
Are you awake, Shamie?
No, I'm not. Some of us need 8 hours, Kip.
Scobie would throw something at him then, a shoe or a dinky car or something. And Shamie would sit up and be genuinely upset at being disturbed.
I'm going to ask to be allowed to sleep downstairs in the sitting room. Honest to Jesus, I'd rather the sofa than having to share a room with you.
But Scobie could distract him with talk of the girls in school.
I tell you, that Fiona Kelly has a great little bod in her.
She's a nice looking girl, all right.
Shamie would be awake now, seeing Fiona Kelly in her uniform draped across a desk in the classroom.
Or the new one in my year, Karen. She's got some pear on her. Bored bunya.
Shamie would imagine Karen and her breasts and what they might look like. Scobie knew he had his attention now. I'm going to get my hands on them this year. Oh yeah, boy. Shamie would realise that he had been hooked in and diverted from sleep, while Scobie would doze off then and leave poor Shamie wide awake, lost in hopeless fantasies about these girls and how and where he'd seduced them. But now, it was Scobie who was wide awake without a hope of sleep, whereas his brother Shamie slept soundly every night with his wife and son in Melton. He and Therese had moved there in January of 09, 10 months before Scobie landed, and he had kept on their couch for a few weeks before moving into a madhouse full of Irish builders. Shamie had worked hard and made it to foreman, and he loved his wife as much as he had that first time he'd seen her, when Therese came into the town to the secondary. They had kissed after a youth club disco, but they were only 15, and Shamie was slagged over it by the others in school because Therese was a real farmer's girl, and they said things like, did she smell of cow shite? And her father was strict and wouldn't let her into town that much, so nothing came of the kiss. Then Shamie was gripped by a disabling awkwardness around girls. He just got shy and tongue-tied, and it was worse for him because his younger brother Scobie could talk any amount of shite to them. This all came to a head one sunny May Monday, when Scobie snogged the face off Julie Ryan after the sports day in school, at the back of a field next to a tree known as Dinny's Hole, for no good reason other than there was a large hollow in the middle of it. Shamie had asked Julie out to the pictures earlier that day, and she'd said yes. But now his 15-year-old younger brother had ruined it.